Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Caroline Griswold with us. Caroline is a parenting coach, mom to a preteen son, and the founder of Fertile Ground Parenting. She is a certified hand-in-hand parenting instructor and is also trained in the Educaring approach, also known as RAI. Since 2018, she's been helping parents grow into their parenting with grace, insight, and humor. Welcome, Caroline. It's great to have you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. So good to be here.
I wanted to start with a quote, something that you wrote, that has to do with kids and aggression and fights. And you said, "We fear they'll never find a better way to express their anger, or others won't see the sweet, loving kids we know they are." How do we deal with that fear? Because I get that.
I know, since you're reading that, I'm laughing. I'm like, oh yeah, had those
Oh,
thoughts.
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I think we can all relate, right? It's like we have these kids, we see every part of them, all their sweetnesses, all their, tricky spots, and we really worry when we see them either go out there into the world and, show the harder parts of themselves, the parts that, feel angry or frustrated or lash out with aggression. Or even when they do those things to us, right? Because sometimes it's just happening in our own homes and behind closed doors. And I often like to say, we get into a fear loop with them because we see them acting out. We get scared. Oh no, what if this kid never learns to get this under control? What if they go out into the world and then they act this out on other people, and then it's like all the future casting, right? Then they don't have friends, then they won't have a relationship, then they'll never get a good job, right? We just go all the way down the road of that catastrophizing. And then, of course, they can tell because they're so amazingly perceptive that we're freaked out. It's hard for us to hide it. They have this amazing ability to feel it, and then that freaks them out, right? And then we get into a little loop and we're just not intentionally, right? But we're feeding on each other's fear, which is ironic because so often what underlies aggression is fear. Usually a kid who's acting out with aggression is a kid who's feeling a lot, but very, very often a kid who's feeling a big knot of fear that they don't know what to do with.
Yeah. And the other thing that you wrote was talking about how parents do a lot of different things to try to address the aggression. They will sometimes mostly not effective things like telling a child to calm down, taking away something, or offering a reward, or telling them to think about what they did. This happened to me as a child. I got put in a corner and told to think about how I could have done it differently next time. So why do these ways not really work that well, and what can we do instead?
My freak out doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I didn't mention we freak out. Yeah. Right. Right. And well, first I want to say it's so understandable that we do these things, right? I mean, these were the tools we were given by our own parents. That's often what, our mother-in-law recommends to us, or, we see in TV shows, and we even talk amongst ourselves. What do I do? Well, you should, give a time out. You should, take away the iPad. Take away the iPad. That's the thing to do, right? So this is like parents will often say to me, "I don't want to do those things," but then like if I don't do those things and then I reach for something else to do, it's just like a big blank space there. Like, what do I do? Right? So totally understandable. The reason they don't typically work is because they're addressing the action, right? The symptom of the behavior. It's like you did a thing in a moment of anger or aggression. I didn't like that, so I'm gonna, punish you for that or isolate you for that. But they don't, so they, I should say, they can work short term, right? Our kids can sometimes go like, "Oh, I really want my iPad, so I'm gonna stop, like somehow hold it together and not do that." But typically they don't work long term because what's bubbling underneath all that behavior that we see, it's like that iceberg that sometimes gets talked about. Like what we see is at the top. That's the aggression outside the water. What's underneath there is so deep sometimes, especially when our kids get into a pattern of aggression. There's so much beneath the surface. And, one sort of threat or one bribe, like get ice cream at the end of the week, or I'll buy you a bike if you can hold it together and not kick your brother for a whole week straight or something. It's like a kid who's working with a lot of fear or a lot of overwhelm or a lot of other big intense feelings can only hold them for so long before they come, shooting out. And then we're back at square one. The kid's disappointed because they've, failed our, hopeful test. We feel more frustrated, we feel more worried, and back we go into the fear loop again.
Yeah.
So if we're not going to address the symptom or address the thing that really is like rearing its ugly head at us, then what do we do? What do we do? Like, do we just like, this is what I think of is like, I can't ignore it, right? I don't want to ignore it, because if I ignore it, then it's kind of like saying, this is okay. This is a way to meet your needs, or this is a way to communicate. So I don't want to ignore it, but at the same time, trying to address it, especially in the moment, doesn't seem like a great idea either. Can you talk us through a little bit of like how does a parent kind of deal with this?
Right. I agree with you. I don't think we should ignore it. We often hear this idea that, all of our kids' behavior is some kind of communication, right? It's like, I'm trying to tell you something with my behavior. So everything from like, stop it, from the living room between one sibling to another, to, slapping us. My kid used to sort of walk by me and just like slap me, like, or bump into me sort of accidentally. It's like, oop, something's being communicated there, right? So if all behavior is some kind of communication, then I often think of aggression or aggressive behavior as like the biggest howl that there could possibly be. Right. So it just screams like, look over here, please, please look over here. Right. Our kids don't want to be in that kind of situation with us. They don't want to be hurting us, hurting their siblings, hurting other kids. And if they get to that place, then they are really asking us, please, this is the only way I can get across to you that something isn't feeling right to me. I really need you to notice, dad, mom, parent, whoever I'm with. I need you to notice. So I think we have to notice it. We have to pay attention. This idea that we can ignore it and hope that it goes away, I think it pushes our kids further into isolation, further into feeling like, oh, I'm holding this big thing and I don't like, they desperately just want to, like, please take it, So I think we have to notice. And I think we have to stop them, because as I said, they don't want this, right? Often aggression happens in kind of like a, almost like a bad dream state, right? Like our kids will lash out. They're not thinking well. We know they're not thinking well. These are loving kids. When their parents will often say to me when they come for support around this, like, I need to tell you, my kid is like a really sweet kid, a really loving kid. And I always say, I believe you. I believe you, right? It's like we know they're sweet. So if that sweet kid turns around and socks their sister or, kicks the dog or kicks us in the shins, things that all happen, they need us to notice and they need us to stop so that when they wake up from the bad dream, they don't have to look around and go, oh my gosh, look what I did, which is kind of just, it adds a layer of hurt to a kid that's already hurting, knowing now I turn around and I hurt other people, even if in that moment it felt like the best thing to do. So we need to notice, we need to stop them. And I think I would say there's a lot to say about how we stop them, but if I could kind of, give it a heading, it would be something like we need to stop them while also remembering their goodness as a kid, right? So not like, this is a kid who can behave well. I don't mean that at all. I mean like their intrinsic goodness. This is a deeply good being who wants things to go well, who has somehow gotten so far out of the bounds of what feels good to us and our family and our community. This is a kid that needs help, So when I go in to stop them, I'm just going to keep that, like, I always say, like right here in front of me, so that as I move in with my body, as I try to figure out what to say, not very much, but say a little something that I'm remembering, here's a good kid who really needs help.
Yeah.
I'm
I
going.
wanted to talk about this because I don't think that we talk very much about how to actually stop kids. So I'm
Yeah.
wondering if we could go into a little bit more detail.
Sure.
Oftentimes I say, like, put your body in between the kids, like use the least amount of force that you can. But do you have any tips of just really practically what that looks like while we are still holding this vision of our child is good, having a tough moment, having a hard time, not giving me a hard time? Like what does this look like physically? What are my arms and legs doing?
Yes, great. What do I do with this body that's possibly also coursing with rage, right? So this is a
Yes.
really tricky thing because I'm like, she did it again, right? She did that thing that I didn't. So, yeah. So let's talk about that later, like how we deal with that body that's
Yeah.
feeling a lot of things and still move in. Like, I love, it's sometimes we talk about these like beautiful, thought conscious parenting, connected parenting ideas. And I think, have we mentioned that this can look really messy? Like, it's not like, and then you go and apply the tool and ta-da. It's so, it's so easy, right? It's so not. You guys have experienced this. I think you've talked about this, right? It's like sometimes we don't even know moment to moment. Like, is this the right thing? Am I still doing the right thing? Am I feeling like I can keep doing this? So I think one thing to say is as we go in, it's beautiful and helpful to continue asking ourselves those questions. Does it feel okay? Can I do this? Can I do it now? How about now? Because if we go in with the rage coursing, we tend to, exact that rage, put that rage onto our kids, with our hands, with our bodies, with our face, with our words. So hopefully we move in. We move in physically. I think this is really a helpful thing for people to know. Often, we try to like set the limit from across the room, like, nope, stop it. Please, I see what you're doing. Stop, please stop that. Like, it's not working, but I'm just keep asking because I'm trying to make the dinner and you're over there, kicking down your sister's tower of blocks that she built with so much love and attention, So we have to bring the limit physically because, again, when our kids are in this place of doing something aggressive, doing anything off track, but especially with aggression, they really need not just our body there, but our brain, which is hopefully thinking at least a little bit better than theirs. So we got to get there physically. And what I tend to do when I'm moving, sometimes we're moving a little fast if it's aggressive behavior, is I just really quickly go like, if this is, I have a son, so he needs help, I will help. I just give myself a little something to think about instead of like, I'm gonna get to him. And when I get to him, I will crush him. It's like that. We sometimes really feel that. So if I'm like, uh-oh, I'm going to crushing, honey, if my partner's home, I'm hoping. So yeah, I'm gonna help him. I'm here to help him. So, and then I try to get there physically and I try to stop it as quickly and as gently, like you were saying, Cecilia, as I can. Like, oh, buddy, I might say something like, oh, honey, I can't let you do that. These are words that we often hear. I can't let you. I won't let you. I love that language because it's not personal. It's fairly objective. It's not like, it's not nice to hit. It's not, in our, even in, like in our family, we don't. I see why we get there, right? It's like we're trying to sort of remind our kids, these are our values. We're kind to each other, right? But it's a little vague. So I love, I can't let you, I won't let you. It also kind of takes on for us the responsibility. Like the subtext is a little bit like, I see that you're not thinking well. Let me stop you before this gets worse. So I'm gonna stop you, honey. And sometimes we really do need to get in there, like you said, and put our body between them and whoever else is there, whatever they're maybe destroying or something. And then we gotta stay. We gotta stay. Because when we stop them, especially if we've managed to do it with some bit of warmth still left, like, oh, honey, uh-oh, oh, you hit her, something like, and I don't always sound this warm, right? It may sound a little bit more like, oh, no, it depends. But if there's a little warmth, if we can manage to glance at our kid and just catch their eye, maybe, maybe not. And show them, like, oh, I'm still on your team. I'm with you. I see what happened here. Then, once we stop them, if we can stay with them, if we can keep a little warmth, then very often what happens is, the obstacle has been removed, the thing that the aggression is being exacted upon has been removed. And all that's left is us and them. And like, right in between us, whatever the feeling was that drove the aggression. And that's the part that we want them to try to feel, because if they can feel it, then there's a chance they might be able to unload some of it, to sort of maybe fall apart into tears, maybe do that weird maniacal laughter thing, like that thing that kids sometimes do when they get really off track, which can be a sign that there's some fear going there. And maybe that turns into real laughter. Maybe it turns into tears. Maybe there's a little struggle and we stay with them. And then it, hopefully moves into some kind of feeling. It doesn't always, but that's the hope, that if we can help them feel it, then they can shed some of it and maybe, have a little more space to think, well, maybe come back to us again sooner.
Right. I love how tactical we're getting.
Yeah.
And I want to continue on this tactical path. And we're also talking about the ideal circumstances, and we'll come back around and talk about not ideal circumstances. So this is my roadmap. Okay, so this is great. So we've calmed our kid, sort of.
Sort
We've
of. Yeah, maybe
maybe
not. We've
hopefully calmed
tried to
ourselves.
come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the next step after that?
After you've calmed your
Yeah.
kid or calmed yourself.
Well, hopefully, under ideal circumstances, we've done the, kind of self-calming as we're stepping into action, reminding ourselves of the goodness of our child while we're doing our stuff with our body to help support and block if we need to with gentleness. They're having some feelings. This
What
is,
happens?
yeah, what else are we doing? I'm guessing this is probably not the time that we go into like teaching mode.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Lovely. You must have been great teachers. I believe that. Yeah, not the time for teaching mode. And I just want to say too, we talk about like being dysregulated a lot. It's a word that we just in our, I think in our, this thoughtful parenting space, I would say a lot of times we are not that calm, right? Like when these things happen. And I think there's two ideas that I don't necessarily agree with. One is that we need to be totally regulated, or what it looks like to be, regulated enough to help a kid in a moment like this. I have had many moments with my own child who's struggled with aggression and all kinds of different off-track behaviors and still does at 11. Where I have been, I would say from the outside, or if someone had, hooked me up to a bunch of machines, not like super calm in a meditative state or anywhere close to that, but still had the wherewithal to listen and kind of work with myself a little bit while working with my kid. So just to say, I think we can still do this, and it also gets better with practice, how that looks. At first, I think we need to do it really in small doses. We need to get a lot of help. We'll talk about that. But yeah, so calm and regulated, I think there's a big spectrum there. And also, I think to not come into this situation with our kid with the goal being, I will now calm my child down. This is something we think a lot, right? Like, and we even maybe say it, you need to calm down, calm down. I'm going to teach you how to calm down. And we like, it's not that these tools like, breathing exercises and stuff, that they don't have a place. I think they do. But I love when the goal is something more like I was saying earlier, let me help. It could be something like, how can I connect with this kid who is so far away from himself or herself? How can I help them come back to me, come back to feeling me with them? That's so different than like, how can I get this kid to completely de-escalate to a state of calm and whatever that looks like to my adult brain? So, okay, just want to say that.
Yeah.
Such a different perspective. You asked, what do we do? So we've gone in there, we've managed to get through, we're with them. I think the best thing we can do, let's say the tears start, right? Like, well, oh, you knocked over her block tower. Maybe that's the thing we noticed. It was like a big kick. Or a big kick to the sister or brother or something. Well, she touched my toy. And, there might be like a big sort of argument about like why I did that and why you don't understand. And, all kinds of things might come back at us, right? It's not like we come in and all of a sudden it's like it's cleared up, right? They just suck it back in, or it dissipates. There's often, as you know well, right, like a big, there can be an argument, there can be physical sort of like, I'm not done feeling this, I want to keep kicking and punching and moving. And so what I would say is the best thing we can do is listen to that as much as we can. And that might mean we're listening while we're moving we're listening with our bodies. Oh, you want to punch. How can I let you do that without letting myself get injured, without letting your sibling get injured, without, the wall getting a hole in it? I listen to you with my ears as you tell me all the reasons why you did this and it was unfair and I don't understand you and, I shouldn't and I'm leaving and I hate you. And, our kids say so many things when they're in that space. And then I'm just sort of watching. We can listen in so many ways. Like we can listen just by watching. Like how is this going? What do I notice? Is there a way that it peaks and then this kid starts to come down the other side? If we keep doing that, our kids have this beautiful ability to kind of, not always again, but often go through that arc where maybe it gets, sometimes when we bring our attention, it gets even bigger. Like, yo, here you are. Let me get out my megaphone and just really let you have it. And, and then the more we listen, if we can hang in there with them, then sometimes what happens is we see it just, it comes down or it changes or they go, I'm hungry. Oh, okay, you're hungry. Let's get a snack. So that's one way that it can go, and that's can be a sign to us that they're lighter, right? They've managed to unload some of the hurt and the tightness that was clogging up their system and leading to the behaviors that are so worrisome.
So as you were saying that, I realized that one of the things that I, at least, or especially early on, as a parent and as a teacher, what was going through my head was often, okay, what am I supposed to do right now? I should be saying something right now. Okay, they're saying all this, and I'm like, what am I supposed to be saying? And like what I heard you say just now was like, we can just be there and listen, have them feel like we're still there with them. We're not checked out. We're not necessarily responding, and we're not having to figure out what the next thing is to say and saying the right thing. And like, I got to say the right thing to get them to calm down. Like that was definitely a place that I was in for quite a while of like try, especially I think that's true for many of the parents that are probably here is they work so hard at parenting. That's why we're here, right? Like we're working on parenting. And so they're like trying to figure out like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing something right now. And what I really liked what you said there is, yeah, maybe not. I mean,
Maybe
be
not.
there.
Yeah. And I also liked, because oftentimes I could get to some empathy, but it wouldn't work instantly. And I'd be like, oh, empathy is not working right now. But
Shut off. Not going to do
you actually say,
that
don't make that your
again.
goal. That's not your goal.
Yeah. Yep.
Your goal is
Yeah.
just presence. Is at
Yep.
least that's how I'm hearing it.
Yep. Yeah, beautiful. I love this. So exactly right. I think we discount our attention and how much it actually matters. How much just like being willing to stay with someone when they're in a very difficult place, when a kid is like plumbing the depths of their sadness or their disappointment. Gosh, that one is really hard for us, right? Their frustration. This is like we're recording this at back to school time, right? So this is lots of our kids are coming home with like, well, she didn't play with me and she said she was my friend and then she went and played with those other kids and I didn't get to, it's like there's so much that they feel and they feel it so deeply. Just the act of being willing to like absorb and listen to that with our full attention, that is so much more than we give ourselves credit for. It's so nourishing to our kids. It's nourishing
Yeah.
to us as adults. Right. But yeah, and I find that saying less actually, it number one, it doesn't, exactly what you said, Jason, right? Like sometimes we fling something at them, like, here's my logical response, or here's my very smart, summary of what I think happened here, or here's my question for you. And it's just like just bounces off them, right? It's like either they reject it, they don't hear it, they scream back at us something like twice as illogical as the first thing that, got us started on, right? So that can frustrate us. And it's just like more information for a kid that is already processing a lot of emotional content. So I find, if we say less, it keeps us less frustrated, it gives them less to work with, and it preserves more inner space for us to go like, here we are. I'm listening. I can hear this. I can see. You know, then the empathy I think naturally arises because we're like, oh, there she is, my beautiful kid, having a hard time. I can be with that.
Yeah, I like that. It naturally can arise, and I think that's the beauty of it, rather than it being forced. And so often, our kids know, they know us, they know when we're
Gosh.
forcing it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this kind of goes back a little bit to what you had said earlier about how we take care of ourselves when we're kind of enraged or we're feeling like a lot as ourselves. Would we be able to go back and talk about that a little bit right now, or is there anything you want to follow up
Yeah.
on with what we were just
No.
discussing?
I think that's great. One of my favorite topics. How do we take care of ourselves, right? Because even the best tools in the world, you know, if we have a full tool belt of these beautiful tools that are really effective and they're connection based, if we don't have, you know, if we are full to the brim of our own worries and our own fears and our own, you know, I don't know, frustration with our partner or difficult interactions at work, it's like it doesn't matter how good the tools are. If we have no space to, you know, be with what happens when we try to offer one, we're sunk. You know, so I think, you know, just what we just talked about with, you know, how we can listen to our kids when they're in this space of really struggling, really wanting to hand things to us that are feeling so hard. We need something really, really similar to that. We need a place and a space where we can get ideally listened to in that kind of way. Hand-in-hand parenting, we call that a listening partnership. Where we, you know, make an agreement with another parent who's, you know, also really wants to work on their parenting, also sees the value of this kind of support. And, you know, I have several listening partners, and once a week we get on the phone or we get on Zoom. Some people do it in person, and we talk about and feel. That's the most important part. We feel what it feels like to, you know, have a kid who's turning toward aggressive behaviors, or have a tween like I do, who's, you know, suddenly interested, you know, talking about romance and, you know, thinking about, you know, what it means to be a big kid and, you know, all the feelings that come up around different ages and stages with our kids, you know, ways that being with our partners really makes it challenging for us sometimes, because here's another human, another wonderful, imperfect human trying to figure things out alongside us, and that can get real tangly, you know, all the things that we deal with in our parenting, which is not just parenting. We can do so much if we can have a non-judgmental listener who doesn't try to fix it for us, who doesn't, you know, coach us. Well, here's what I think you should do. And have you tried, you know, it's not that. It's like, let me, you know, remember just the same thing we said about our kids too, right? You're a good parent. You are obviously trying your hardest to help your kids. I see that in you. I won't forget that, even if you tell me that yesterday you wanted to strangle your kid. You know, not really, but you know, you felt just so mad that you, oh, it was everything you could do not to smack or whatever. You know, that someone's remembering, this is a good parent. This was a hard time. And then in that space, we can do a lot, just like our kids can. Sometimes we cry, sometimes we laugh hysterically because it's so ridiculous. Sometimes we remember things, you know, like from our own childhoods that, like, whoa, I didn't even know that was in there. You know, I wonder if that's getting in the way of me having more ease around this, you know? So it doesn't have to be a listening partner, but there's something beautiful about that relationship where we can really lean on someone, doesn't cost money, and we feel that same kind of love and support that we try to give to our kids. Like, here's someone that remembers I'm good, I'm doing my best.
Seems especially valuable in a age where we are so maybe isolated or feel isolated, or we are, you know, raising a family without a lot of support, whether it's familial or friend support. We don't have a village. We don't have like all like that's a challenge, I think, for and it has been for years, like for generations, is really being able to raise a kid by yourself, and ex everything's expected of one person or two people to be able to do all of
Right.
this. And to grow that circle of support, I think is just becoming more and more valuable or more and more important, especially as we hear so much about how people are feeling so alone and lonely.
Yep.
And that includes parents, I think. And so I can really appreciate the idea of having a listening partnership or a parent that you can, another person, doesn't even have to be another parent, but having another person that can listen to you in a non-judgmental, non-coaching kind of way.
Right. Yeah.
There's one more question I wanted to ask you as we're
Go
wrapping
for
up.
it. Yeah.
Because I can imagine there could be some people listening and they're like, but Caroline, when do I teach them? How
Are
do
they
we
always
actually
gonna
resolve?
bite to solve their problem?
How do we solve this? Is Yeah,
it is
right.
are you saying that all they need is listening, or do they need something else?
They definitely need more than listening. And I would say there's a lot of space between just listening, just even though it can be more powerful than we imagine. And don't forget that listening came with the limit, right? So there was the limit, and then there was the listening. Those, most of us, like when we think about limits, what we think about is like, stop that right now. And that's the end of the limit, right? So this, building in the listening and building in the warmth is already so different. It's already so powerful. So there's a lot there, but there's space between that and teaching. And in that space, lots of different things can happen, right? So we do need to address aggression head on. We need to do it in a way that really puts connection at the foundation. You guys talk about this a lot, right? And so do many of the wonderful speakers at this conference, right? It's like we have to keep remembering that this is what helps our kids function best is when they feel close to us, when they feel that we're on their side, when they feel that, they can trust us. So everything I do with parents is with that in mind. How can we build that up? Because I would say every parent wants this and is trying to get this. This is like aggression does not just happen in families where parents are checked out and parents are, too whatever. It's not true at all. It happens in like loving, warm families where parents are really there. They're really trying. So part of this is just about, where can we strengthen it more? And then what else does our kid need? So, there's lots of places we can go. One place is we can see where playfulness and laughter can help our kids. That can be a really powerful tool. Amazingly, I think sometimes for kids who are, who tend toward aggression, because we spend so much time worried about them and, upset with them, that, building in playfulness in a particular way, in a thoughtful way, can really send the message that we're with them, we see them, we delight in them. That can loosen some of the, feelings that lead to aggression. So yeah, but teaching is something else, right? Teaching is where we try to impart something. We try to sort of drill it in or make sure they absorb it. I don't do a lot of teaching in my parenting. There are times, there are moments, but I would say, they're absorbing a lot from us. So the more support we get, the more they can feel our strength and our sort of inner core of support. Like, oh, this is a parent who's can lead and who's got my back. And then when we move into connection, whether it's through limit setting or other times that we spend with our kids, we're teaching them a lot in that time too.
Yeah,
So.
that they get what they need from our presence, from the limit that gets set. And I think kind of circling back to what you've already said is that they already know that using the aggressive behavior, they know that they don't want to hurt their friend or their sibling or you. They already know that.
They don't
So that
need me to
if,
say that more.
yeah. So
Right. They already know,
right.
like, biting's
Yeah.
not the way I'm going to solve this problem.
Right, exactly. I
Kicking is
don't
not.
want you to bite. No more
Kicking
biting,
is.
Jason.
Right.
Biting hurts people, Jason. Like, I know,
Like, they already know
I
this
just
stuff. Well,
forget.
right.
I just forget. Yeah, it seems like the best option on the menu when it gets hard. So,
And that when they are in a more regulated state because of our presence, because of their practice, because of whatever else that's happening in the environment, their own ability to have perspective and wisdom as they grow, that these things will naturally kind of take care of themselves is what I'm hearing you say. Is that accurate?
Often they loosen, and it takes time. It takes time, especially aggression, right? It's not like, oh, apply this for a month and you're good to go. Like, it takes time. Sometimes it can take months. Sometimes it's a thing that our kids sort of that gets better, the biting gets better, but oh, as they get older, it pops up in other places. So I think we also need to, you know, often I encourage parents like take the long view on this, right? We are humans that are developing, our brains are developing. It's like heavy construction, especially in our children's childhood, right? It's like you don't build a building in, you know, a month. Sometimes a building takes a year. And so we have to be willing to go, this is a long-term project. It's an emotional project for them, for me, for our family. And we're gonna take it step by step, and we're gonna look for the places where it's loosening, where it's getting better, and experiment and see what helps and keep going.
Really enjoying this just really straightforward conversation about aggression. It's refreshing. Do you have anything else that you want to go over or talk to us about or leave people with here as we're wrapping up?
Yeah, I think one thing I always like to say just at the end of these kinds of chats is I see how hard people are working. I see how hard parents are working to help their kids, to love their kids well, to show up for their kids, to be the parents that they told themselves they would be. And I have such appreciation for that hard work and for the love that I'm sure every parent watching this has for their children. And a deep belief that those same parents are the perfect people to help their own children. We are more capable than we ever realize.
Nice. I like the reassurance of that. I think we forget that as parents, especially when we're working so hard. How can people find out more about you, what you have to offer, all that you have online?
Well, I have a little guide that I put together about aggression to kind of help people get started with thinking more about some of these ideas that we've talked about. And I think you guys will put the link in the show notes or the recording notes, right,
Yeah.
for people to get to.
Great.
Good.
Yeah, we'll put those that link in the speaker notes here. People
Great.
can get to you through that and download that free guide. Thank you for putting that together. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us here. Thanks for how you support parents in a refreshing way, in a really practical way, so they can see like this is really what it looks like. And yeah, I can really relate to that. So thanks for that. It's been nice talking to you, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you in the future.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.